This sermon is titled, Created, Designed and Called for a Purpose. Be enriched as you listen.
This morning I just want to bring a simple message as a way of reminder and as a way of just stirring us up, maybe prompting us to rethink or think again about something we probably heard many times in our Christian lives, in our lives as our believers. I want to talk to us about being created, designed, and called for a purpose. So, put your right hand up and say this with me. I've been created, designed, and called for a purpose. Let's say it again. I've been created, designed, and called for a purpose. Just tell your neighbor, I'm not an accident. Amen. The Bible makes it clear to us that God does things on purpose. A God is a God of plan. He's a God of design. He doesn't do things randomly, arbitrarily. Let things happen by chance and then say, okay, let me figure out what to do now. A God's a God of plan and purpose. One scripture we could look at, Psalm 33 verse 11, it says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Think about that. The plans of his heart. Does God plan? Yeah. Scripture there. The plans of his heart. How long does God plan? You and I plan, perhaps, for a month, for a year. Some of us plan 5 years out into the future. Some of us plan 10 years. But the maximum each one of us could possibly plan is a lifetime. God plans across generations. It means he is standing outside time. And he's got plans. He's got purposes that transcend generations. And in fact, the Bible says that God has an eternal purpose. So it's not just, let me figure out what to do now. But God's got an eternal purpose that he's carrying out on the earth. One scripture that we could look at, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 verse 11. The Apostle Paul states this. He says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That means God's purpose is something that was even before time, eternal, from before time. So before time began, God had a plan. He had a purpose. I'm going to do some things. That's his eternal purpose. And it's going to go on after time, as we know, it comes to a stop. There's an eternal purpose that God is unfolding in Jesus Christ, in and through Christ. So God's a God of plan. He's a God of purpose. He's a God of design. He's a God of intentionality. And he's got this eternal purpose that he's unfolding. And the beautiful thing is, you and I get to be a part of that purpose. Sometimes boggles our minds. Our life is so insignificant. We are smaller than a speck of dust in this great universe. Even in the solar system that we are part of, that planet Earth is part of. Even there, we are so small, so insignificant. And yet to think that the great mighty God who has an eternal purpose that started before time will continue after time. He's invited you and me to say, come be a part of this. I've got something for you in my eternal purpose. A scripture that we could look at is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. That God has called us to participate in his purpose. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. Paul writes, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Think about that. God saved us and he called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. So he didn't look at you and say, well, he's passed all these exams. I can figure out a plan for him. He didn't look at the other person and say, man, he didn't do too well. I don't know what to do with that person. No. It's not based on our works. God saved you. God called you. Not according to your works. But according to his purpose, according to his grace, which was given to us, meaning God extended an invitation. Come, be a part of my eternal purpose. It is given to you in Jesus Christ. And even all of this was determined before time began. So think about it. Even before time began, God said, I'm going to call these people. I'm going to save them. I'm going to invite them to be a part of my purpose. I'm going to empower them with my grace. I'm not going to invite them based on their works, but it's according to my purpose and grace. So I want you to think about this. God has extended his call, his purpose, and his grace to you. So let's say this together. God has given me his calling, his purpose, his grace in Jesus. Amen. There's a calling. There's a purpose. There is grace that God has extended to you in Jesus. And what you and I do with that, of course, matters. But here's the key. You have a place in God's eternal purpose. And he's extended his calling, his purpose, his grace to you. Come be a part of what I'm doing. And so, I want to awaken us, maybe just remind us this morning, that you and I were created and designed for a purpose. So say this with me. And say it like, you know, big, feel good about yourself. I've been created and designed by God for a purpose. Let's say it again. I've been designed and created by God for a purpose. God doesn't make junk. In God's, I don't know what you call it, in God's creative work, I was going to use like manufacturing plant or something, it doesn't sound good. But when God does things, there are no defects. Amen. You were created and designed by God for a purpose. Let's read this passage, which we are very familiar with. But let's read again this morning. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. Let's just remind ourselves about this. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. The psalmist said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I will praise you," verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Let's say it together. Let's put it in simple English. God, I will praise you. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So you thank God that He made you the way you are. He designed you fearfully, wonderfully. And we will continue on this passage, but God designed you and He put you together. The unique gifts you carry, the inclinations you have, the godly, not the wrong inclinations, but the godly, good inclinations you have. The things that really inspire you and motivate you, that stir you, that grip you. The way you've been put together, God did it. With His wisdom, He put you together. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And He continues here. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. So of course He's using figurative language here. But what He's saying is, God, when I was there in my mother's womb, it wasn't like you didn't know what was happening. You knew. And I was skillfully put together. So let's say this together. I was skillfully designed by God. Say it like you mean it. I was skillfully designed by God. Amen. That's the Bible. He skillfully designed you in your mother's womb. And when you were formed there. So don't feel bad about yourself. You are God's handiwork. You're God's masterpiece. You were skillfully designed by God. Your composition, what makes you, you, put together. God did it. You were skillfully wrought. Verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. Think about that. In your book, all the days were written. Even before you and I had our first day on this planet. What's it saying? That God had a plan, a dream, a purpose for you, even before you could step in to this earth. Do you believe it? That's what the Bible says. So you are God's dream roaming the earth. You are God's plan being unfolded on the earth. Amen? You're not an accident. You're not just a happenstance. Oh, something happened. Somebody fell out of the Milky Way somewhere, landed on this planet. No. All the days of your life were written in His book even before you had your first day on this earth. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. It was in His mind even before you were born. Let's continue there. Verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. So God, like, you know, this is so amazing that you would have such thoughts for me, that you would know me in such detail, that you would care about me, you would plan these things for me in such detail. God, this is beyond my understanding. So God has a plan for your life. So the call is, the challenge is, or the great adventure is to discover this plan and to live it out. That's the adventure. Because He has a plan for you. Now it's up to you and me to say, God, what is that plan? Let's do it together. Let's make it happen together. And that's the adventure that you and I are on. Amen. Now, the reality is that all of us, we recognize God's purpose in different ways and at different times. So it doesn't mean that as soon as you come kicking out of your mother's womb, you say, "Well, I've got the plan." You're not born with the plan in your hands. It takes some time for us to recognize God's purpose and to step into it. We see several examples in the Bible that we can talk about. Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David and this disciples of Jesus and Saul. All these people we can talk about. Each one in a different stage in life, in a different manner, understood the purpose of God and then chose to step in. Some of us may get to, lock into God's purpose when we are 20. Some will say, "God, just give me a little bit more time. I want to do my own thing. And I'll come back to you when I'm ready." And so for 30 years, you roam the world, do something. And then suddenly say, "Okay, I need to live for something higher, something more meaningful." So we get in there at about 30, and some maybe at 35, maybe at 40. At different stages in life, we finally realize God's got a plan. And I want to live for that. And we go to Him and we surrender, or we give our lives to Him and we choose to embrace His call. And we begin to pray and say, "God, I want to live for your purpose. I want to live for what you have planned for me." So it happens in different stages, in different ways for each of us. Abraham, I don't know why, but God called him when he was 75. God said, "Come on, Abraham, I've got a plan for you." Why didn't God do that at 25? I don't know. But he called him at 75 and said, "Come, I'll take you." And Abraham journeyed with God. And God positioned him so that through him, he could bring forth a race of people, a nation of people through whom he could release the Messiah. Did Abraham know everything about God's great eternal purpose? Probably not. But yet, his role was so important. So you and I may not understand how what God has called us to do, what we are doing fits into this great eternal purpose of God. We may not understand how all of that plays out and how all that fits together. But you have an important place and role in God's eternal purpose. Amen? And you and I should live with that sense of divine destiny. That my life on earth has significance. It's important. God designed me and created me for a purpose. And He's given me a part in that eternal purpose. And every day, you're living with a sense of divine destiny. Are you excited? I don't know. I'm excited. Just to know that my life has a God-given purpose. God didn't say, "I made you just figure out what you want to do." No, God has a purpose for you. And He's inviting you to live out that purpose with Him, empowered by His grace to live it out. So you can think about Joseph, who he had simple gifts. He could interpret dreams. And God used that gift to save a nation and his own father's house. So what are the gifts in your life? God put them there, and God knows how to bring those gifts out in order to carry out His purpose. So the gifts that are put in you, you can call it talents, your abilities, your competencies, your skills, whatever language you want to use, use it. But who you are, the things that you can do, God uses that to carry out his purpose. In Joseph's case, it was his ability to interpret dreams. And later on he found out he could also administer a whole nation. If you had asked Joseph, when he was in prison, Joseph, do you think you can be a good prime minister? I don't know. I'm here in prison. Never done it before. But those were seeds in his life. And when the time came, they came forth. So you don't know what seeds God has put in you. You may not have discovered them all. But as you go in your journey with God, obeying him a step at a time, there will be hidden things that come forth in your life. And you'll say, I never knew I could do this. I never knew these things were in me. But God designed you. He put them in there. And at the right time, he pulls them out. Are you listening? Think about Moses. He couldn't speak well. He was afraid. And yet God used that man to be a deliverer. To stand before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. He brought them out. God used Moses. Think about David, a shepherd boy. His father didn't even think it was important enough to keep David at home when the prophet Samuel came to visit. Got all the other boys and he left David out with his sheep. So this prophet Samuel said, do you have any more? Any other son? Yeah, there's one boy there. He's taking care of his sheep. Do you really need me to call him in? Yeah, get him in. And God says, that's the one. I have a purpose for his life. The one that his dad left out, that's the one who's going to be the next king. And God raised him up. So God has purposes, plans and purposes for each one of us. And you know, we could just summarize some of this. We can say this, that God calls people at all stages of life, from all walks of life, and into a variety of assignments. Now, some of us sitting here, maybe you're in your 20s, some, and a little later on in life. But God calls people. He gets them engaged with his plan, with his purpose, at all stages in life, from all walks of life. And he works in a variety of ways to carry out his purposes. So the call is that from today, the rest of your life, I want to challenge all of us to live for God's purpose. We can't do anything about the past. It's okay. It's fine. But from today, for the rest of your life, you are an assignment, a heavenly assignment. You're going to live out the purpose of God. What God created you for, what God designed you for, you're going to pursue that. You're going to live it out. Amen. Now, as we make this journey, one very important thing. Don't compare yourself with other people. And don't compete with other people. There's no need for that. 1 Corinthians 12, I know it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there's a very important truth here. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6, I'm reading from the easy to read version. It says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they're all from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but we serve the same Lord. And there are different ways that God works in people. But it is the same God who works in all of us to do everything. There are different ways to serve God. We serve the same God. There are different ways that God works. But the same God who's at work. So, don't compare. God, why are you working in my life like this? I want you to work in me the way you work in that person. That looks pretty good. Of course, we can learn from each other. We can, you know, imbibe good things from each other and all that. That's fine. But we don't live comparing ourselves with each other or comparing how God is working the other person. Say, God, you had to work in me and through me the same way. No. God created you. God designed you the way you are. Unique. And let him work through you the way he seeks or he desires to work through you. Be comfortable with that. Are you understanding this? Because God works in different ways through each of us. God has gifted all of us differently. He has called us to serve him in different ways. We're all not doing the same exact thing. And God is also working through each of us in different ways. So we are here not to compare with each other. We're here to support, work together. We're not here to compete with each other. But we celebrate one another. Wow, I celebrate the way God is doing, the way God is working in your life, what God is doing through your life. Celebrate each other. Celebrate the way God is working and what God is doing. Celebrate that. Because we are all part of that eternal purpose. Amen. Last thought that I want to present to us this morning. Worship team, please come. God's purpose is God's calling. Press into it. See, sometimes we make the mistake of saying, I'm waiting for the call of God, as the God is, you know, going to call you on your phone. Hello. I'm waiting for the call. What call? We just read that while you were still in your mother's womb, God wrote out the plan for your life. That plan, which has already been written, is your calling. That's your calling. His plan, his purpose, is your calling. So what are you waiting for? It was written even before you were born. So what you and I need to do is to find out, God, what is your purpose for my life? What is your plan? That's the call. Go fulfill it. Go live it out. Do what God wants you to do. That's your calling. So just say this with me. God's purpose, God's plan for me is my calling. That's your calling. His plan for you, his purpose for you is his call on your life. It's an invitation for you to join with him to carry it out on the earth. So you're not sitting and waiting, saying, you know, God's taking some time to decide what he wants to do with me. No. He already planned what he wants to do with you when you were in your mother's womb. Are you understanding? So now you and I are going to journey with God to fulfill that plan, fulfill that purpose. That's the call. But the plan and the purpose of God is not going to happen automatically. You and I need to co-work with God. You and I need to labor with God. You and I need to sometimes press into that plan. Why? Because sometimes our flesh doesn't want the plan of God. Sometimes our flesh wants to go do something else. So that's why you got to say, flesh, align yourself to the plan of God. Sometimes people around us may not be so excited about us pursuing the plan of God. So that's why you need to press through that. Sometimes the devil, I shouldn't say sometimes, all the time, the devil doesn't want you to pursue the plan of God. And so he's going to try to put all kinds of detours, distractions, disturbances along the path, trying to prevent us from pressing in. But you and I must press in to the plan and the purpose of God. Be single-minded, be focused, be determined, and go after it. I close with this verse from the words of the Apostle Paul. Again, a familiar passage in Philippians 3, 12 to 15. Paul writes, now remember, Paul, at this time, when he was writing these words, he was in prison, in Rome, as he's writing this letter to the believers in Philippi. He's in prison. What would you do if you were in prison under a Roman emperor, Nero? And it's almost certain you're going to get executed. You just don't know when. What would you be writing? This is what Paul wrote. He said, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected. In other words, I haven't arrived. I haven't finished. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So I'm not done. It's not over yet. I want to press in for everything Jesus has laid a hold of me. I want to press into that. He didn't say, okay, I'm ready to go. No, I want to press on and lay a hold of everything Jesus laid a hold of me for. And then he continues. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, look, I'm letting go of the things of the past. I'm pressing forward into what's up in front of me. And this is being mature. So to think in these terms, to think about not dwelling in the past, but to think about pressing forward. He says, let us, those who are in mature, let's have this mind. This is a mature mindset. A sign that you're a mature person. You're not living in the past. You're saying, let me press forward for what God has in store for me in Jesus Christ. Amen. We can look back, thank God for all the good old days. We can look back and thank God for all the things He's brought us through. But we don't live in the past. We got to press forward to what lies ahead. That's a sign that you're a mature person. But here's the point. You and I need to press in to what God has for us. So wherever you are in life, whatever stage you're in life this morning, I want to invite you to pray and say, God, I believe you created me for a purpose. You designed me for a purpose. From this moment on to the rest of my life, I want to live for that purpose. What is it, God? Speak it to me. Let my heart receive an understanding of your purpose. Help me to journey into it. Help me to fulfill that purpose. Are you ready to do that? Let's rise to our feet, please. Let's do that this morning. I want you to pray right where you are. So Lord, I thank you that you created me, you designed me, you called me for a purpose. And I don't want to live for my own purpose. I don't want to live for my own interests. I want to live for the purpose that you had in mind for my life. What was it, God, in your mind when I was being formed in my mother's womb? What was it, God? What are the places you wanted me to go? The lives you wanted me to touch? The people you wanted me to reach? The nations you wanted me to impact? What was it, God, that you wanted me to do on this? What was in your mind when I was being formed in my mother's womb? When you skillfully designed me and crafted me and put me together? What did you have in your mind? God, speak it to me. God, reveal it to me. Because I want to live for that and nothing else. That's the adventure I want to be on. Can you pray that kind of a prayer this morning? and commit yourself to it. It's a journey of discovery. We're going to understand it a step at a time. God's going to lead us into it. But that's the life you and I are called to live for His purpose, to live for His dream. You are God's dream being unfolded on the earth. You are God's plan being released on the earth. Your life is full of divine purpose. Let it be fulfilled. Let it be fulfilled. As He's saying, as we take a few moments to wait on the Lord, please engage. Please engage with the Lord.
For You are my world. You are my God. And I lay down my life for You. You are my Lord, the one I love. No one could ever take Your place. My Father, I adore You more than anything my heart could wish for, and I just want You. Beloved Savior, everything I am, I owe to You. I owe it all to You. And angels come and adore You. And we, Your children, worship. From You, I pray I use them as You want me to. So use them for You. And angels come and adore You. We Your children, we Your children worship.
Father, we just pray this morning that each of our hearts will be gripped with a sense of divine purpose, God. That we are here on an heavenly assignment, each one of us. That the God of heaven has a plan, has a purpose, has a dream for each one of our lives. And the Holy Spirit is here as our teacher, as a counselor, as our director, to empower us to live out this purpose. Father, we invite you that by the power of your word, by the power of your spirit, to speak your purposes in each of our lives. Communicate your dreams, communicate your plans to us, O God. And may each and every person here live for that heavenly call, for that heavenly purpose. That wherever we go and what we pursue in our education, in our training, that the things we engage in our day-to-day lives, the jobs we take, the companies we work in, the things we do in ministry or whatever we do, God, we will know that we are part of your eternal purpose. We will do it with a sense of divine assignment, a divine destiny. Now, Father, we ask that each one of us will have impact and influence for your kingdom. That God, we will plunder hell and we will populate heaven. God, that we will destroy the works of darkness and advance your kingdom. That we will dismantle what the devil has built and establish the kingdom of God. That in every sphere of society, wherever you send us, O God, we will be on kingdom assignment. In our businesses, in our companies that we run, in our places of work, in our schools, in our colleges, in our churches, in our ministries, wherever we are, we know that we are on assignment from heaven. That we will cause the increase, the expansion of your kingdom, God, here on earth. So empower us, your people, and help us to live with this sense of divine destiny, a divine purpose, a heavenly dream. You are our Father. You've got good dreams for us, good plans for us. And this morning, if you came in wondering what's life all about, does it make sense? Is it worth even living? I want you to leave this place this morning knowing that your Heavenly Father has got a good plan for you. That your Heavenly Father has got a great dream for your life. He's got places he wants you to go. He's got people he wants you to meet. He's got lives he wants you to touch. He's got things that he wants you to do. He's got cities he wants you to impact. Nations he wants you to reach. You're a dream waiting to be fulfilled. Live with that sense of destiny. Engage with God. And the Bible says that God takes weak things of the world to confirm things that are strong. He takes the foolish to confirm things that are wise. He takes things that don't even exist to confirm things that do. In other words, God does amazing things. So don't discount yourself. Don't discredit yourself. Don't devalue yourself. Before we close this morning, I want to give an invitation to anyone. You've never received Jesus Christ into your life. Like you heard this morning, God has a plan. He's got a purpose for you. And it all begins when you let Jesus come in to your life. Not according, it says God saved us and called us, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. That's when you step in. When you let Jesus come into your life and you hand your life over to Jesus, that's when you lock in to the plan and purpose of God. That's the beginning. And so if you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ into your life, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. And if you feel in your heart that you need to do this and you want to do it, then join me in this prayer, inviting Jesus Christ into your life and giving your life over to Him and say, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life for You. If you've never done this before, then please join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my life. Forgive my sins. Make me a child of God. And help me to follow You. And You alone the rest of my life. Help me to live for Your plan and Your purpose for my life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed this prayer with me this morning, we want to celebrate with you. It's the best decision that you made in your life. And so if you prayed this prayer with me for the very first time in your life, or maybe you rededicated your life, you were away from God, but this morning you did that with me, we want to celebrate with you. So if you don't mind, could you please raise your hand? Wave it at me, please. You prayed this prayer with me this morning. Anyone here? You prayed this prayer with me and you did it this morning right now. Could you wave your hand at me, please? Anyone here in this auditorium? Just wave your hand at me. Anyone? Anyone here? Oh, I see one hand there. Wonderful, wonderful. Praise God, praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? You did it for the first time. You did it this morning. Anyone, anyone, anyone else? Okay. Our ushers will come to you and they'll give you a bag that has some free books in it. And please write your name and number on the card they give you that says decision card. Somebody from the church office will call you and guide you how to use those free books and help you grow in this journey, this great adventure of living your life in Jesus' name and for His purpose and for His glory. All right, we're going to close. One quick announcement, or a few announcements. Right after we close, after we dismiss, sing our theme song and dismiss, there's going to be a little photo session here. Our graduates will come up, our faculty will be here. You know, this is a very important day for our graduates, and they want to capture that on camera. So there's going to be, our pastors will all be here. So usually we'd be down there to pray with you. You'll have to excuse us for some time until this photo thing is taken. And if you're okay with waiting, as soon as we're done here, we'll be available to pray with you and minister to you. But we just want to do that very quickly, and then the graduates will go outside and they'll be taking some photographs outside, all of that. Lunch is being served for our graduates and their families and friends. So that will also be happening inside the auditorium, and that's for them as well. Another important announcement is next Sunday we'll be meeting at Wings, the other auditorium, at Wings Auditorium, just for next Sunday. Please, we'll be meeting at Wings. All right, let's receive the benediction and then do our theme song. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit continue with each of us always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.